Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
A lot of people listening right now might be tucking into a pie for breakfast. I know you're a massive fan of pies, Hutsy.
Huge fan of pies. I recently had a pie at the Working Dog Bakery at Cabargo, and it was fantastic. We're on the way to Wollongong. I'm like, I've never stopped at this pie shop. I'm going to make an effort to stop here, and I didn't regret it. It was fantastic.
Life-changing. Oh,
yeah, I love pies.
Yeah, a good pie can be life-changing, and imagine eating pies as your job.
Oh, wow, okay. Ooh.
There's a guy up in Queensland, Sean Pine, who is the host of Piney's Pie Review. Sean's from Tewantin, and he basically travels around to bakeries, tries out recommended pies, and then gives them a rating. And so far, he's reviewed 130 pies, and he's gone viral. He's what's known as a pie influencer.
So, like, when this guy works in a pie shop, there's, like, a big hush, like an old Western, as soon as he walks in.
Kind of, yeah.
That's the guy.
That's the man. It's Piney. they reckon if Sean tries one of your pies, suddenly you'll be inundated with people coming to your bakery or wherever you're selling the pie from, looking to try that pie.
So him trying one of your pies is like a celebrity retweeting a tweet that you've done.
Yeah, he is the Kardashian of pies.
Okay.
If he recommends a pie, you're going to get a lot of followers of your bakery. And it all started out for Sean when him and some mates went out to Birdsville. And then on the way back, they stopped to get something to eat. And this is what happened next.
I said, you know what? Every town we stop at, I'm going to have a meat pie. So I had 23 pies in 18 days. Insane.
It is insane. He basically went on a bakery crawl. Like, I know I'd be crawling if I had that many pies in such a short amount of time. That would cripple me.
Imagine this guy when he goes to a party and they bring out the party pies. All of a sudden, he's just like, oh, this is just an entree when he has 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe a dozen.
I think he'd just hurl the tray against the wall in disgust. Go, how dare you
Gordon Ramsay.
Serve me this swill. Piney, he has certain criteria or pie-teria when it comes to reviewing the different pies.
I've got 5 criteria when I do my scoring. Value for money, meat ratio, meat flavour, pastry and temperature. Score out of 10.
There you go. And when it comes to meat flavour, if Piney can taste the snout or anus, chances are you're probably going to get a 1 or a 2. Ooh. So make sure it's nothing but premium quality meat that you're serving up. I don't know if he tries vegan pies. You'd have to give them a run as well.
Have you had a look at him? He probably doesn't.
Well, yeah, as you could expect, eating that much pastry and meat, he's quite voluptuous, Piney. Yes. But one of the criteria, as you heard, is the temperature of the pie.
Yeah,
that is a big one. To me, that is key. If you go to bite into a pie, check your temps. That is a warning, and Piney backs me up on that one.
I know it's the bottom of my scoring, but temperature, if you bite into a hot pie, the whole experience is busted for the next 5 minutes because it burns the top of your mouth.
Yeah, you might as well just chuck the rest of the pie in the bin. I've been lobbying for ages for pie packaging to have the same graphic warnings that they have on cigarette packets, just like a picture of the inside of someone's burned mouth, and it just says, check your temps underneath. Just that warning.
Maybe it's a good little marketing play. Like when you go to the movies, like you have popcorn, you have to have the Coke. Maybe they have that hot, so then you burn your tongue and then you have to buy a drink as well.
Oh, I reckon that's probably it. Yeah. I mean, a drink does help when it comes to getting a bad pie. And there's only been one in Piney's experience. When he's been reviewing all these pies, he's only had one dodgy one.
I had one bad experience after the Big Red Bash. I won't name where I had it. It was actually at a servo. It was a plastic, thing, and horrible.
Piney, rookie mistake. A servo pie? That's a 3-drink minimum. Like, a servo pie. There's a reason why they sell you an iced coffee with it. That's your chaser after a servo pie.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Kilpatrick, Mornay, or just slurping them up raw. There's nothing more delicious than a fresh oyster, and we serve up some of the best oysters here on the far south coast. And every year we have the Naruma Oyster Festival. That was until last year.
Yeah,
that was when COVID, pretty much put a stop to that. But it is back for 2021, bigger than ever. And we're joined right now by the chair of Naruma Rocks, the company behind the Naruma Oyster Festival, Kath Peachy, to talk more about the upcoming festival. Morning, Kath. How are you going?
Good morning, guys.
It must have been a pretty hard decision last year to pull back the festival, like with COVID.
Oh, look, it was a really disappointing decision, not just for all the volunteers that are involved in organising it, but also for our visitors who look forward to coming every year. We get about 60% repeat visitation rate, so it's really disappointing for them.
For people that aren't aware, that aren't from this area, in the north, it's the Naruma Oyster Festival. In the south, it's the Eden Whale Festival. They're like the big events on our calendar.
That's exactly right. And, you know, last year too was the first year we'd actually moved to a not-for-profit company to help in delivering the festival. I mean, it's always been a community-run festival, but it's just gotten so big that we needed to get the proper governance processes in place, which we now have.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people attending this year on the 30th of April and the 1st of May. That's when the festival's on, and there's a chance to try some delicious oysters. It's kind of what our region is well known for. And there's also some delicious wine and craft beer to go along with it. Now, do you have any room there for an extra craft beer? Because my co-host, Hutsy, just collaborated with Big Noz Brewery.
Beer.
Yeah, so I don't know if we could squeeze that into the schedule, maybe, to go along with an oyster.
Absolutely. I can tell you Big Niles is very much part of the program. They're in all the premium events. They're going to have a market stall there as well. We've got a lot of interest this year. You'll be very pleased to know, from distillers, craft brewers, wineries. So we're certainly still the Oyster and Local Produce Festival, but we're very much now turning into a craft beer and wine festival.
Hear that, Brad? We've already got 1 foot in the door. We're already half there. You guys have got so many events. You've got like oyster masterclasses, fireworks and stuff, but what's like the crowning jewel event? Is it the long table dinner? I'm hearing this thing's pretty popular.
The long table dinner is certainly very, very popular. We could have sold that dinner five times over. It sold out in 3 minutes. It was like a Keith Urban concert. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, get my glasses. Let's have a look. Oh, wait, it's sold out.
Yeah, we did put on a second dinner. We scrambled to get a couple of chefs who are going to collaborate. They've both got two hats between them and they're going to put on our dinner. That is also sold out. But look, I think the crowning glory is just the day. It's walking around Oyster Alley, talking to the farmers. It's tasting the different oysters. It's the fantastic music that you've got all day. Stuff for the kids there. We're going to have big kids and little kids rides this year. We've never had stuff for the big kids. And the shucking competition. That's like the Melbourne Cup of Naruma. It gets hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people cheering for their farmer or their estuary or where they come from. So we've got people from Shoalhaven all the way down to the border that participate in that.
That's awesome. It sounds like the South Coast version of the axe chopping at the Easter show.
Exactly. There's something for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Paul West back as the festival ambassador. Our friend of the show, Kelly Eastwood from Eastwood's Deli and Cooking School in Bermagui, is also going to be there cooking up a storm. No lack of experts when it comes to the seafood, but what you are lacking at the moment, it seems, is some volunteers, Kath.
The success of the festival has really grown. And as we put on more of these sort of premium events for people that want to do something particularly special, we need more volunteers, particularly if you've ever carried a plate or pulled a beer, you've got an RSA. Boy, we could use your help. Please get in touch with us.
And they score a festival ticket and a T-shirt for their troubles as well. So
exactly.
Well, they do that. They'll get a coffee. They'll get to feel, you know, connected with their community and with our tourism and produce industry, our growers. It really is a fun day.
I know any other time of year, if I told someone I was going to spend the weekend shucking and slurping, they'd look at me weird. But when it comes to the Naruma Oyster Festival, that's what it's all about, sampling the best seafood that the far south coast has to offer. We are really looking forward to it, Kath, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Looking forward to seeing you there, guys.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
With COVID forcing people to pivot when it comes to certain careers, I think you can just about take any job you can get in certain countries, especially in Europe where COVID has just run absolutely rampant compared to places like here. We've been pretty lucky in Australia. But there's been a court case which has been going well before COVID. This has actually been going for a couple of years now, but it's only now this thing's sort of gone viral and seeing the light of day. It involves a 27-year-old in the UK who works at her local gym. And she's actually putting in a discrimination claim against her former workplace because she actually has this condition which basically triggers anxiety when it comes to personal hygiene and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit of a strange sort of pairing for someone like that to be working at a gym anyway, but she basically tells of how every time she's around sweaty towels and, you know, things that require other people's personal hygiene, she can get a little bit anxious at times.
Right.
I know. It's a little bit out there, isn't it?
It's like saying, I want to be a dental assistant, but I really don't like saliva.
Exactly right.
I don't like
scratching my head at this one. Yeah. So you're probably thinking, how'd she even get the job there? Well, basically, when she went for the job, she told the employers, there's a couple of T's and C's, you know, basically, be aware of this, I've got this condition. And they were fine with it. Upper management was fine with it.
And it said, here's a pair of tongs.
Yeah.
You don't have to directly touch any sweaty towels.
So that was like upper management. But it looks like the message wasn't conveyed properly when it came to like her direct boss, or maybe the floor manager of this gym.
Oh, okay.
There was a particular incident where after, you know, the day's work, it's one of those health places where, you know, people just grab towels there and then toss them in a pile and someone picks them up at the end of the day.
Right.
It's not like, you know, where you bring your own towel to the gym. There's ones that are there, you use them, someone picks them up, it's the person's job, whoever works there, you know, they should have the sign, your mother doesn't work here, so clean up after yourself. That'd probably be something pretty handy. But apparently this floor manager didn't know about her condition. One afternoon, asking her to pick up the towels, and she was like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he's like, what do you mean? You can't, that's like weird way. You can't pick up the towels. And then she's...
I have sweat phobia.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Explain the condition once again. At this point, she's probably thinking, do I need to wear a sign that says I have this condition because I have to keep explaining it?
Yeah.
You know, like a nut allergy or something every time someone's asking about it. But this whole thing got out of hand. He even started mocking her in front of other people at the gym because obviously he didn't know the information had been passed on to him about the condition she had.
He's
making a big deal of it. She's getting quite upset about it. And then eventually, like an unfair dismissal, discrimination in the workplace claim has been launched as a result of this.
So did she quit or did they fire her?
I reckon she probably got fired.
So she
and then
okay.
all of a sudden, you know, the information came out that management were aware of that situation and her T's and C's with her job, but obviously it wasn't made apparent to the person that was her direct boss.
Just turned into a big argument, and then eventually the gym just threw in the towel, literally, and exactly. said, you're fired, get out of here.
Exactly right. So basically, you know, despite the company being made fully aware, obviously her direct boss wasn't made aware as well. But it's like, you got to ask that question. Like, the fitness manager at the time was just like, hang on a sec, I don't understand why someone who has a phobia of sweat wants to work at a gym. It's just like, am I the only person that's seeing this? Eventually stands up, puts her hand up, but the tribunal ruled that she'd been discriminated against, you know? So I haven't exactly said how much money she's going to be getting, but
she's going to get a payout.
She's going to get some sort of payout.
I
reckon it's mostly been muddled up when it comes to the job description. Like, let's be honest, you know, she's probably looking at things thinking, I can tick those boxes, you know, hard worker, team player, someone who refuses to throw in the towel at the end of the day. Yeah, that's me.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.